American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, March 26, 2007. And you are listening to Newsreel, the Wild Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for Free Speech Day, and just by listening to this and distributing this program, you are too. Not just listening, but also distributing. So listening and distributing, or individually on their own, you can either listen to the program, or you can distribute the program, or any combination of the two, and you are, in fact, taking a stand for Free Speech Today. And you can follow up with all these news stories, check my facts, by going to my live journal, sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on RAND Radio, SRN1, 76 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio Tampa, Cheaper One Radio, and Risk Radio, who always makes you gasp before you say their name. I got some feedback. Let's not screw around. First of all, actually, before we get even to the feedback, thank you for not giving me feedback saying that my show sucked because there was too much static last show. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's what happens when you stack your laptop up on your Ghost in the Shell limited edition metal containers so that you can get more footprint desk space. I'm here to tell you. I picked up an ergonomic keyboard, right, because it never keeps me bored, and I'm always trying to keep myself writing. That's the plan. You got to be productive, right? And I get kind of obsessive that way. So I got the keyboard and I wanted to try to generate some space on the desktop. Of course, the big keyboard's got a huge footprint. So what you have to do, you have to elevate the computer, which is a laptop. So it's kind of difficult. And I wound up, you know, creating a bunch of static. And oh my God. So apologies, apologies, apologies all around. I know some people may think I'm anal, but that's how I roll. Feedback. Hey, Sean, just wanted to let you know that I'm one of the older wogs. I'm 10,000 years old. Older is kind of a different... I like getting email from people who are older than I am. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's some weird parental thing I got on the go. Who knows? I'm sure Sigmund Freud would have a heyday with it. But it's interesting. I always take note when someone who's older than I am sends me an email. But anyway, just want to let you know I'm one of the older wogs. I'll be 51 in April. Wogs come in all shapes, colors, and ages, of course. Anyway, you have no idea how much of a breath of fresh air you are. Well, no, I don't. How would I know that? I see the problems with the government, and I'm really worried about what they are doing, i.e. taking the rights away from the American people. Which, you know, I mean, this is all part of it. And you want to know where that's going to go, all you got to do is look at Britain and China, and we're on our way. Acting, the government does, as if they are above the law, and fucking with people and call their attention that there is no such law, and so forth. Blah, 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 blah. Finally, I would like a digital baptism. I need a new name. Peace, and keep up the good work. My best to Sin, C-I-N, which I thought was really, really cool, because he misspelled James's name. It's actually Sim, C-I-M. I'm not ripping on you. I just thought it was cool. And I think it was so cool that Heart Pain, you are now known as Zero Reg. And that's from Max Headroom Fame. Yes, it's a direct ripoff, but since you identified yourself as an older wog, I thought that would be perfect. That's spelt number zero dash R-E-G. Very, very good. More feedback. Dear Sean, my dear Sean. It's not just, I'm not saying anybody's dear Sean. I'm this guy's dear Sean. Holy, oh master my Sean. Oh Lord and Savior Sean. No, I'm kidding. My dear Sean, I just finished the May 20th, 2005 Newsreel episode 89. Good God, what are we up to? 200 and something now? You can't expect me to remember that. When you talked about the artwork that Muttley sent you on the 1985 Van Club logo. Good Lord. Did you ever make that? Did that ever make it to the website? I'm curious to see it. Well, any art that gets sent to me that I think is worth anything, even the stuff I don't think is worth anything, I send to Sim. Because if I don't send recorded any media and images that I get to Sumerian, he comes to my house and kills me. So Sim probably has it. I do not remember what it looks like. Couldn't even tell you the first thing about it. I think it was the Van Art logo. Might have been the Newsreel Flying Monkey logo. I think that might have been considered Van Art logo. I know it'd be a good logo to put on the side of a plane. But anyway, the letter goes on to say, also, I started listening to the archives of the radio show from 2002, and I heard the always wear body armor takeoff, always wear sunscreen. take off on Always Wear Sunscreen by Baz Luhrmann. Is that file somewhere by itself for download as well? And now a comment. You've often expressed surprise that people listen to your archives. Why listen to old shows? News? Why listen to old news? Several reasons. For one thing, some data is timeless. I have sheets of notes on things that you've talked about. That's kind of frightening, sitting there taking notes about stuff I say. The whole idea is that you don't have to generate paper notes, so you can just, you know, put it on the iPod and go back. Maybe make notes based upon that. But anyway, things to look up, things to learn about. Listening now in 2007 to something that was breaking news in 2005 or 2002 is fascinating. Not only because I remember some of those things, but also because I know or can research what happened from there. It's an interesting point, too, because quite often when it comes out, because I've got such a big mouth, I'll just roar and roar and roar, make all these predictions, and sometimes I'm not too far off. Sometimes I can actually get pretty close to the mark. Also, I get to learn about you, Stalker. What makes the characteristic voice of the technological counterculture tick? Stalker, why do you have certain opinions? Stalker, what do you think is neat? What inspires you? Stalker, Stalker, Stalker! There's always something interesting, entertaining, or amusing in each episode, and every one of these news stories comes alive because of you. Stalker! No, I'm just kidding. I secretly have a fantasy to have a million stalkers. Not the guys with the candles and the cutout pictures. I mean the large mecha that, you know, is used for assault things and kind of looks like a giant, you know, phallus on legs. Why do we listen to your archives? Because you're cool. You amuse us and teach us. You speak to us as equals. Well, kind of probably as superiors, and I'm slightly embarrassed about my techniques. That's unique in the media, and that's why we're loyal to you. May your data stream forever, Hub Mother. Well, that was one of the nicer letters I've got. And I don't actually think I'm inadequate. I just find self-depreciating humor to be the funniest kind. And I'm so good at it. Somebody had to take over. Hey, SK, where are you going with that gun in your hand? I just wanted to write you and say, wow, you're doing a friggin' awesome job with the show as of late. Well, that's good. Jesus, what about the ones before that? Were they crap? Oh, my God, only the late shows are good. Everything else is garbage. I'm going to go shoot myself. Oh, wait, I have a gun. I was so worried with the violent verbiage that you graced the net with would die out. Now, this is interesting. Very interesting. I've oftentimes thought whether or not, you know, my swearing thing, I've taken a lot of flack for me, you know, laying it out there on the line, dropping the F-bombs and every other kind of bombs that I could possibly, you know, formulate with my ghetto mouth. I take a lot of crap for that, but I think it's honest, and I think it's important that you don't regulate your words. Like, the whole concept of a bad word is kind of medieval to me anyway. Like, I don't understand why this word is frightening. I don't understand that. It's all about communication to me, so if I can get the point across, it doesn't matter if I intersperse opera and rap with my everyday speech and a couple of curse words, it really doesn't matter as long as I communicate the message across. Get the message through. Letter goes on to say here, you surprised me with coming back on the air. Kudos for that. Honestly, your work has helped me out so much in such a little amount of time. It's simply phenomenal. I get a lot of email like this saying, wow, you really helped me out. You really helped me out. And you know, I got to tell you, that makes me feel pretty good because, you know, sometimes there are times where it's, you know, 4 a.m. and you're staring at the screen going, what the hell am I doing here? But it's good to get email that tells you that, yeah, it does help people because generally going with the Sean Kennedy moral compass system, if something increases suffering on a global scale, or even on a localized scale in the long term. I should say, if something increases suffering in the long term, it is bad. If it decreases suffering in the long term, it is good. This is how I, you know, determine what is bad and what is good. Some people disagree with that. I don't care. I just get back to the letter. I just wish there was some way I could pay you back an equal amount. Oh, wait, look, a donation button. Keep fighting the good fight. A virus. P.S. If you have no idea how to pronounce my online name, don't worry. No one gets it. It's virus. And his version of virus is spelled V-Y-R-A-E-S. Which, you know, I can understand. I can understand people having it because originally I'd be like, virus. You know, you got to do that kind of a thing. Yeah, I still have a problem talking about money on the air. I don't like doing it. I don't know why. I've got this weird problem with, like, you know, money appears dirty to me. Isn't that weird? Isn't that a weird thing? I don't get that. I guess it's because you always, whenever you're doing art, you know, you got your book and everything, and you got, you know, your drawings or whatever you're going to do, anything that's art to you, to sell it seems like it's whoring it out. You know, you feel like you're such a prostitute just to sell it. But you got to do something, right? I mean, you got to live. You know, you get these people who are amazing writers, and, you know, if they can't make money with their writing, they're going to wind up flipping burgers somewhere, or worse. One of the greatest writers I know, is, and I hate to say this because I love her so much, but she's chicken shit to put anything out there, okay? She won't make her shit available. And I'm here to tell you, man, if down the road, if I've got, you know, 5 or 6 books or whatever, and I want to start my own publishing company, there's going to be one author who's going to be at the forefront. She's probably the greatest author I know. And she won't release her stuff. And I think that's just a fucking crime. Because if some, you know, hack like me can get on the air and start, you know, espousing my heavily spell-checked, you know, evil, or non-spell-checked evil, unto server, I mean, you know, this chick would blow me away. And she'd probably object to me calling her a chick. But I don't care. On that, is that offensive? I mean, I need to know. I work with intention on this kind of thing. If you call women chicks, is that offensive? Some chicks get really wrapped around the axles on that stuff. They're like, it's not like I'm calling them a broad, a dame, a skirt, a bird. You know, I mean, these are all slang terms, right? I think that referring to women as bitches and hoes, I think that's a bit much. I think that requires, you know, to receive about a 350 feet per second knuckle sandwich. I mean, I don't really generally think that. If someone called my wife a chick, I don't think I'd be upset by that, and I'm pretty anal about that kind of a thing. People usually aren't allowed to talk to my wife or look at her directly. So, you know, I don't really see a problem with that, but I guess some people get wrapped around the axle. So, for future reference, for all the Lilithfair patchouli-wearing types, you know, the feminazi crowd, I'm really sorry if any of my terminology upsets you. I said feminazi to a chick at Burning Man when I was there. And you should have seen how this chick freaked out. Oh, my God. The term feminazi pisses people off. Let me tell you. She just about hit the ever-loving roof when I called her a feminazi. I thought I was afraid for my life. Seriously, I thought she was going to cross the desert there and, like, drink my blood. It was just terrible. So I'd be careful with that term. I guess Rush Limbaugh used it. But I always refer to feminazis to being the chicks who hate men because they're men. Like, if you have a dangly bit, you're automatically part of the bad guy club. I don't understand that. So, before I dig myself into a deeper hole still, I love women. I think they're fantastic. I married one of them. Spend as much time as I can with her. So, if any women out there are offended by me using the terms chick, broad, dame, whatever, lady, you know, it's not, please go with intention. It's not intended to offend anybody. I guess I'm just an idiot. More feedback. Yo, Sean. Not Toyo Sean, but Sean. Yo, Sean. Yo, Sean. Been enjoying your show for quite some time now. So you're still enjoying it while you write this. It's good to have you back. Isn't that bad? Me playing grammar Nazi. Whoa, wow. People in glass houses. You are correct in believe that the state of the atom is dependent on the observer. Basically, when you're looking at... about atomic energy. You are correct in believing the state of an atom is dependent on the observer. Basically, when you're looking at it, it's a particle, and when you're not, it's a wave. Okay, we're now rapidly, you know, passing Sean in the science category. It basically means that a particle somehow knows when you're looking at it, or not, as if the universe was sentient or something. Now, you know, don't go sending me, you know, the what the bleep do you know science, okay? Because I don't know if I buy in any of that crap. If you go far enough down the rabbit hole with that stuff, man, eventually you wind up thinking that you can think yourself into floating in space and stuff like that. I don't know. A lot of this kind of stuff, it's like what Heinlein said. No, you don't have to worry about any theory as long as the machines are working properly. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. A lot of this quantum stuff seems a little bit hokey to me. Some of it I like. Some of it I'm using in the new book. But some of it just comes across as kind of a little bit, it almost comes across as kind of a cult when you think about it. I mean, if the nature of atoms changes because you observe them, wouldn't they also change if you imagine them or if you visualize them? You know what I mean? And therefore, couldn't you affect reality with your dreams? I mean, Jesus, now we're getting to some really Lovecraftian shit. But anyway, also, I'm on the subject of science. I have a little tidbit of information for you. Good, I can use all the tidbits I can get. Genetically engineered food is not bad for you. In fact, gene crops have saved the lives in third world countries. Yes, I have also seen a wonderful Penn and Teller bullshit episode where they talk about genetically modified food. Genetic engineered food is not bad for you. In fact, gene crops save lives in third world countries. And I'm a fan of this, okay? This goes back to my whole, you know, moral compass thing. You know, does it decrease or increase suffering in the long term? If using genetically modified foods have their place, without a doubt. I just like, you know, medicine and stuff. But you got to make sure you test that. You know exactly what the long-term effects are. See, they'll wind up saving all these people for starvation and then, you know, slowly destroying their minds and creating a slave culture. You know, this is a concern, right? So, if there's multi levels to this, yes, I think that stopping people from starving to death is a very good idea. I guess 40,000 people die. What is it? 40,000 people die every day due to starvation. It's either every day or every hour, something like that. But, you know, basically way too fucking many people die from starvation in a country or in on a planet where a lot of countries have surplus. Like, come on, man. You got to help a brother out over here. Okay, we got to stop letting people, especially, you know, these kids, dying from starvation. You watch these Africa, you know, shows. Everybody's seen them, and the bloated bellies and all that stuff. It's horrible. They all got nice teeth, though. I never figured that out. You ever watch them? They all got nice teeth. Pearly whites. Never understood that. You know, it's kind of bizarre. But anyway, yeah, you know, I think that having surplus in the world, we should really be saving lives. But, of course, you know, this leads into, you know, grassroots, and a lot of politics gets involved with it. And personally, I just think that the kid with the bloated belly, well, he doesn't really give a crap. He just would like something to eat, and I'd like to give him something to eat. So, you know, we'll work out the rest in the details. His letter goes on to say, by making the crops more resilient, they're able to grow in less habitable environments, and it's not like they take parts of a rat and stick it on the crops. Mind you, that'd be cool. Could you imagine having, you know, your wheat running around with rats? That'd be kind of cool. With all those wonderful lab toys that Genesis has. It saves lives, Sean's, because it keeps the starving people from starving. Okay, I'm not a Frankenfood guy. Okay, I'm not the kind of guy who goes out and protests this stuff. I'm just aware of it. That was from Darcius. Thank you very much, Darcius. I'm just very much aware of the Frankenfood situation. Okay, I mean, it's something that I look at and I go, you know, where are we going with this? Where are we going with the whole genetic engineered food thing? I don't like people copywriting food. I don't like people licensing food. I don't like termination seeds where people, you know, have to buy fresh seeds every year, otherwise their children die. You know, people over profits, always. That's how it works in Sean world. So, you know, and anything else, what's the term I'm looking for here? If you don't pay enough attention, if you're not vigilant enough, eventually you wind up building a death camp without any fences using genetically engineered and copyrighted food, because eventually people wind up enslaved to you due to the fact that they cannot grow food unless they buy it from you. And this is a disturbing thing to me, and I do not think that is a good idea. I don't have a sort yourself out. But I do have lots of news. First one was sent in by Mind Control News, sent in by Wyandi. Very, very interesting story. Mind Control News, I've noticed that there's people send me the news stories they want to hear, you know what I mean? Like, it's the army of flying monkeys is amazing. A Korean venture startup has developed an inaudible sound sequence. Okay, so it's not within the human range of hearing, which it claims can prevent an obsessive use of online games, thus giving hope to game addicts. Now, this is just after they had a study release where they say, oh, by the way, subliminal stuff works. For years they said it didn't, but now, oh shit, now it does. Xtiv on Monday said the sound sequence is based on subliminal effects. We incorporate messages into an acoustic sound wave telling gamers to stop playing. The messages are told 10,000 to 20,000 times per second, Xtiv president Yunyun Hay said. The game users can't recognize the sounds, but their subconscious is aware of them, and the chances are high they will quit playing, the 35-year-old Yoon said. Tests tell us all the sounds work. Xtiv, which was established in 2005, spent about a year to create the sound sequence geared towards addressing the concern that Korean teenagers spend too much time playing computer games. 20,000 times a second? I don't know. This thing's starting to sound a bit like FUD. The addiction to network games has turned into a serious social problem, and some gamers have even died after long sessions in front of the computer. Yes, and some kids kill themselves. You know, this is nothing more than spin. Okay, yes, computers are entertaining, yes, computers are fun, but you claim that they are addictive to the level like heroin? No, they're not. Experts point out roughly that 10 to 20% of high school students can be categorized as web junkies who need treatment. Now, we talked about this the other day where, you know, China's putting people in camps and stuff like that because they're web junkies. This is all invented. The whole web junkie thing is invented, okay? Doesn't exist. Not real. But they're going to, you know, they're going to classify it like that because they're creating a market. It's brilliant, really, when you look at it in sort of a soulless, satanic kind of way. And many believe that this is a conservative perspective. Yeah, the people who stand to make money from it believe it's a conservative perspective. I'll tell you that much. Experiences tell us kids or adolescents simply don't stop playing games when faced with forceful measures. What? No, you just talk to your kids. Explain things to them. Such attempts can also cause many side effects. Yes, if you talk to your kid, they may have side effects. Like your kid may talk back. You know, and then they'll ask questions, and then what the fuck you do? Then what you do? Then you fuck! But our newly developed sound sequence tells them to stop playing on their own. No, it's not on their own. You're programming them. This can make a real difference in the war against obsessive gameplay. God! Yeah, we declared war on it! Nice! War against excessive gameplay. Nice! Nice, because we're not in enough war. We don't have enough war. Now we're going to declare war against obsessive gameplay. Yoon said XDiv plans to commercialize for the phonogram along with the government and game companies. Game companies can install a system which delivers inaudible sounds after it recognizes a young user has kept playing for a preset period of time, so the parents can decide when they turn on the mind control on their children. XDiv applied for a domestic patent for the phonogram and is looking to take advantage of the technology in other sectors. It's looking to take advantage of the technology in other sectors than video games. And here's the money line from the president of the company. You ready for this one? This is the big punchline. This is the one we've been waiting for right here. You ready for this one? We can easily, quote, we can easily change the messages. In this sense, I screwed up the quote. Quote, we can easily change the messages. In this sense, the potential for this technology is exponential, Yoon said. So, he's already said that he's going to use this for advertising. They're going to start programming messages in games. Imagine sitting there saying, you would like to drink a fizzy pop. Fizzy pop, fizzy pop, oh, fizzy, fizzy pop, while you're playing your video game. Not like those two go hand in hand anyway. And then you just make them buy the fizzy pop that you want, huh? Brilliant. There's nothing even remotely unethical about that. Not at all. Hell no. Let's just program the kids. God damn it. You know, there ought to be a law against this kind of stuff. But, you know, all we can do is try to educate the general populace. I got an email the other day from a guy in China. And I guess in China, they can hear my stuff. I guess you can get to Newsreel from China, which is pretty cool. I was pleased about that. They can get it through the RSS feed. They can download the show and they can listen to it in China. It's times like this where I'm really sorry that I don't know Chinese. Because if I did, China pisses me so off. Like, the entire Asian, like, way they're doing things over there with the whole computers are evil, let's program our people and put them in camps, that pisses me off to such a level that I wish I spoke Chinese. I'm almost half tempted to try to learn Chinese so I could do a Chinese version of the show. Wouldn't that be a trip? I'm sure I wouldn't. I don't know if it would translate very well. Maybe there's some Chinese people. Maybe I need some of those really cool Chinese fans. You know, like the guy who speaks English and Chinese, and he can do his best Sean Kennedy impersonation while translating the show. That's doable. We could do it in Spanish, German, Dutch, whatever. I'd like to hear the show in, like, I don't know, as many different languages as I could. But, I mean, then you need people to translate those stuff. And, well, I wouldn't want to try to keep up with me on a day-to-day basis. Never mind trying to translate what I'm saying or even track it. So, hey, entertainment purposes only. But still, you see my point? This is just bizarre. That subliminal and mental control is rocketing to the forefront. You're going to see more and more of this within the next few months as well. It's going to just keep going. And wait till the MRI thing starts coming out. Holy sweet dog shit. In silence equals death news from Nihi. Nihi. So I'm going to call it Nihi. In London, more than 1,000 journalists and their support staff have died in the past decade. Interesting. Journalists are dying. With Iraq and Russia topping the list of the deadliest countries for their profession, according to a report. Most of the dead were men who died in their home countries. Nearly half were shot. Others were blown up, beaten to death, stabbed, tortured, or decapitated. Wow! Being a journalist will kill you. The vast majority of those killed were on staff. 91% versus 9% freelance, according to a report released Tuesday by the Brussels-based International News Safety Institute. The News Safety Institute. Interesting title. One in eight of the deaths were prosecuted, so no one ever even cares if you start killing reporters. This report breaks new ground in capturing how dangerous the pursuit of news has become, said Tom Curley, president of the Associated Press. Very interesting. Kind of adds a whole new flavor to Newsreel, doesn't it? It also confirms how insignificant the efforts have been to achieve justice for journalists who are harmed or persecuted as they work to keep the world informed. We are at the perilous point in journalism. Fair and accurate coverage is more necessary than ever, but the risks for those who pursue it are greater than ever, too. Yes, it's true. This is why it's good to be labeled as entertainment media or crazy, as I have been, in which case you stand a slightly better chance of not getting shot, provided what country you live in. The report came as detectives investigated a suspicious death of a military correspondent from Russia's top business daily who was killed after falling out of a window. No, he was killed after falling out of the window. So he fell out the window and he's like, oh, damn. And then somebody walked up and hit him with a silencer. No, he was probably thrown out of his window. How do you fall out of a window anyway? I mean, I'm a pretty big klutz. And I personally couldn't do the fall out of the window thing. I don't understand that. Like, oh, shit, window. You know, did the window break? I mean, did he fall through a window? What's going on there? Ivan Safronov, who worked for the Kommersant, died Friday after falling from a fifth-story window in the stairwell of his apartment building in Moscow. A stairway window. How the hell do you fall out a stairway window? Like, you go down the landing, there's a little window there, and you just... Colleagues suspect foul play. You think? I think the retarded blind mice would suspect foul play. Russia was singled out in the report as a country with a growing list of slain journalists. Yeah, no kidding. Including Anna... Wow, I'm going to screw up her name, which is sad. Anna Politskovayana. Sorry, buddy. Who was shot dead outside of her apartment in October amid her investigation of abuse by Russian troops in Chechnya. Well, duh. You know, I mean, if you're going to start doing that kind of stuff, you better make sure you're wearing a vest, man. Many lesser-known journalists die each day virtually unnoticed. So if I check out, hell, I wonder who's going to care, other than all of you, of course. I know you all love me. Do not swamp me with mail. It's okay. But you know what? This just goes to show that now more than ever, it is important that we distribute the show, that we get news out there to people, because we're living in dangerous times right now. We're living in the kind of times where people do not want you to think. People would rather broadcast mind control messages through you through video games. Nobody wants to give you the true story. Nobody wants to give you what is really going on. I mean, even I don't know what the hell's really going on. I'm just picking up scraps and shreds from the budgie cage floor, and I'm hoping that, you know, maybe I'm getting through to some people. Got to dress it up. Got to make it entertaining. Otherwise, everyone's going to tune out. Right? Can't go wrong with me there. That's why people listen. They don't listen because of the stories. They listen because I'm a freak. Well, I'm paraphrasing, but that's generally it. You know, make the stories come alive. It's alive. And that's all you can do. That's all you can do. So please, 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 if I wind up getting myself dead, keep distributing the show and someone should pick up the ball. Boy, I'd like to see that one, eh? All the different people who would show up and try to take over the show and then how many shows they'd make before they died. But, hey, you know what? If Art Bell can do it and George Norrie can do it, why not me too? Hey, come on. We can all get in this together, and all we got to do is get enough alternative meta. Meta? Meta. Alternative meta. Alternative meta is meat that comes from the wild alternative, which is a blue-haired creature which runs across the city, largely descended from rats and other dysfunctional latchkey-type creatures who have evolved through the influence of gamma radiation fed to them through their computer. Yeah, we'll use that. In Desert War News! Thank you, Jibcat. Jibby, you rule, by the way. The guy sends me a lot of news stories, and I don't use a lot of them, but he sends me stuff like this every now and again, and this is a good one. The Army is ordering injured troops to go to Iraq. Now, in Desert Wars, I understand war is war. Things have to happen, okay? But why on God's green earth would you send wounded soldiers who are medically unfit to fight? Why would you send them to fight? That doesn't make sense to me. At Fort Benning, soldiers who are classified as medically unfit to fight are now being sent to war. Is this an isolated incident or a trend? This is not right, said Master Sergeant Ronald Jenkins, who has been ordered to Iraq. Even though he has a spine problem, the doctors would be, say, damaged further by heavy protective gear. The whole thing is about taking care of soldiers, he said angrily. If you're not fit to fight, you're not fit to fight. If you're fit to fight, you are fit to fight. As the military scrambles to pour more soldiers into Iraq, a unit of the Army's 3rd Infantry Division at Fort Benning, Georgia, is deploying troops with serious injuries and medical problems, including GIs who doctors said are medically unfit for battle. Some are too injured to wear their body armor, according to medical records. On February 15th, Master Sergeant Jenkins and 74 other soldiers with medical conditions from the 3rd Division's 3rd Brigade were summoned to a meeting with the division's surgeon and brigade surgeon. These are the men responsible for handling each soldier's physical profile. An Army document that lists the commander's injured soldiers' physical limitations because of medical problems, from being unable to fire a weapon to the inability to move and drive in 3 to 5 second increments to avoid enemy fire. Jenkins and the soldiers claim the division and brigade surgeon summarily downgraded the soldiers' profiles without even a medical exam in order to deploy them to Iraq. It is a claim division officials deny. So, I know exactly what's happening here because I understand military culture. They're all saying, you're a malingering bag of shit. You've got to go do your part just like all your partners do, and you can't claim that a bad knee is keeping you out of the war. That's exactly what they're saying to these poor folks. And, you know, that's a bit of a sign. How much longer after this is going to happen is that are we going to get a draft, eh? How much long after that do you think that's going to happen? You know, it's scary. It's scary. I'm not too madly in love with sending injured people to fight. I think that that's a really dumb idea, but it lets you know what the caliber of desperation is out there in this desert war we got going on right now. Now, Fat Ninja sent me another story in Neuralport News. This is like a link. Oh, well, it's a bit of a critique. I didn't know where else to put it, so I put it here. Dear Sean, a bit of a minor checksum for you. You had a story on the 19th of March on neural interfaces to be used with video games. True. You referred to this sort of MRI device. This seems to be a bit of a misnomer. From a loose description, it looks more like an EEG, an wow, an amazing Scrabble word worth about 20,000 points. When an MRI is a magnetic resonance imaging, an MRI actually makes a picture of inside your body, whereas an EEG detects signals created by the brain itself. I stand corrected. On a bit of a side note, the EEG technology has been around for a while, but there's a problem with it. It takes a rather intensive training to actually use it, so the learning curve's pretty steep. If that game interface does in fact use this technology, it will probably require the same type of training. On one final note here, there's actually open source project for EEG devices. Interesting. And he gives me the link, which I've linked to on the site. Now, this is an open source EEG project so that you yourself can get a hold of this and start messing around with it if you happen to be technically inclined. And if you follow the link from the webpage, you'll get there. And at the top of the page, it goes on. And I'll just read you what the page is about. This is almost a daily hack type thing, but I got a really good daily hack today, so I don't want to use it there. So what do you do? It's my show. I put it where I want. Many people are interested in what's called neurofeedback, neurofeedback or EEG biofeedback training. A generic mental training method which makes the trainee consciously aware of the general activity in the brain. Very, very cool. Anything that increases internal control of yourself is a good thing in my books. This method shows a great potential for improving many mental capabilities and exploring consciousness. Other people want to do experiments with brain-computer interfaces or just want to have a look at their brain at work. Fair ball. I'd like to just find my brain. Unfortunately, well, I lost my mind a while ago, and I felt it going, and now I just can't seem to find it. I think it's hiding with my youthful idealism somewhere. Unfortunately, commercial EEG devices are generally too expensive to become a hobbyist tool or toy. Of course, bear in mind that you strap something like this on your head, it's birth control. The Open EEG Project is about making plans and software for do-it-yourself EEG devices available for free, as in GPL, GNU Public License, I believe. It is aimed towards amateurs who would like to experiment with EEG. However, if you're a pro in many fields of electronics, neurofeedback, software development, etc., you are, of course, welcome to join the mailing list and share your wisdom. Right now, the site is mostly hardware, schematics, parts list, building instructions, etc. However, a few members have developed some useful software programs, which is hosted on their own websites. You can find these on the software pages. Very, very cool! And I must admit, there's a certain sick pleasure that I get in thinking about, you know, strapping this thing to your head with a whole bunch of wires and having the wife catch you in the study with, like, all this stuff strapped to your head going, oh, hi, honey, you know. There's a certain thrill there, especially if she's bringing the parents over, you know. the visions. You know, when I met my wife, this is an interesting story. I'll just segue off the show for a minute. I don't know if anybody knows this, but when I met the wife, the parents didn't like me. Her parents? Oh, yeah. Hated me because they're very clever people, you know. So they come from a Mennonite background, and of course the Mennonites are hardcore pacifists, which me I'm not so much. And well, you know, they didn't like me very much in the early stages. This was like 8 years ago. My anniversary is coming up April 3rd, and so I always like to remember this. So for the first year I was dating the woman, I mean, it was just an uphill battle all the way. So if any of you need love life advice about how to make parents like you or how to deal with adverse mother-in-laws and things like that, I have got an advanced doctorate degree with honors from the School of Life on that shit, let me tell you. Because the Weiss family, they're all cops! Oh yeah, did I mention that? Yeah! Yeah, it was a good uphill battle for the Seanster, but I persevered. And I got the princess. Na-na-na-na-na-na. But anyway, getting back to the EEG thing, how to freak out in-laws when they come over with the thing strapped to your head and you're like, I can see God! I touched God! You know, get the lawnmower man thing on the go. This is cool. This is very, very cool. That's the kind of stuff that gets me excited. And then you start, you know, combining it with robots and making robot bodies. And, oh, God, that's Duh, that's sex. Sex. I love brain interface with robots done in the garage. Yeah. Why does that sound vaguely dirty? But speaking of vaguely dirty brain interface with robots, in Neuroport News, thank you to Wyandi. Okay, it's not really dirty, but what the hell? Sex sells, and we got to keep the show interesting. Move over, mice and keyboards. Now, this is neat. This is neat. A futuristic brain control interface has finally hit the market. Now, a lot of this stuff has been, is a rehash because every single story where they talk about EEGs or ECGs, what are they? Cephalonephrograms? Snuffleupagrams? Whereas acetyl cephalopathy. Jesus Christ, how many letters are in that? Electrocephalogram. An electrocephalogram. I'm going to call them snuffleupagus from now on because I think it's a better word. Move over, mice and keyboards. A futuristic brain control interface kit has finally hit the market. Austrian medical and electrical engineer from firm Geiger, not Geiger, Geiger Technologies, has become the first company to ship a commercial product for controlling computers with thoughts. Now, they're shipping it. This isn't vapor. They're first to market, which is very, very important because, as we know, the people who get there first generally control the moral direction of the technology of which they master. This is why if Howard Hughes were to have had been a president of the United States, we'd all have flying fucking cars. And we cannot rely on business to keep our best interests at heart because business does not want to make you free. Business wants to make you a product and a slave so that they can make money from you. So you need to have people who are leaders within the industry bust out and say, I will make cool things and give them away to people for free so that we can elevate humanity through time and space. This is the whole idea of technology, okay? Because if you don't have that, then you're fucked, okay? So just, so we're all on the same page here. But anyway, the Australian medical and electrical engineering firm Geiger Technologies has become the first company to ship a commercial product for controlling computers with thoughts. The company's brain-computer interface, a BCI kit, works on the premise of detecting mental activity via snuffleupagus signals, such as the snuffleupagusogram or the snuffleupago impulses. The electrocephalogram or the electrocortiogram impulses and translated them into control signal. Did you prefer the snuffleupagus to the electrocephalogram? I think the electrocephalogram is just a big word, and snuffleupagus just sounds better. In this way, brain signals can be used for data entry or to move a cursor on a computer monitor. Whoa. This is the kind of thing where, you strap this crazy World War II fighter bomber, World War I fighter helmet on with the wires coming out of it, and you show your wife that you can move the little mouse across the screen, and she looks at you and then just does the same thing with the mouse with one-third the effort, and you're like, shut up, it's cool. It's cool. You don't understand me. Controlling devices via brainwaves has long been a staple of science fiction, and while it continues to fuel the imagination, the company points out that there are many practical uses. Not only is it good for the imagination, there's practical uses. One of the primary goals of the effort, which was awarded to the European Information and Communication Technology, the 2007 Grand Prize, during the week's CBITS trade show in Germany, is to enable completely paralyzed patients to communicate and interact with their environment. They can spell out words like, kill me. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? They put together a combination of consonants and vowels in different capitalizations with a period in there. How the fuck are you supposed to say that? The G.BCIS, the BC kit, can be used with a standard Windows PC or a substandard Windows PC or a below standard Windows PC. And don't you love the way that's that wonderful little mind share there? If you have a Windows PC, it's standard. If you have a Linux PC, well, that's not standard. You have to figure out how to, turn it on and everything. Or a Windows mobile platform device when paired with a lightweight biosignal recording system called the G-Moyolab. In either case, EEG processing analysis and pattern recognition can be used to perform rudimentary tasks such as spelling and message composition. Message composition! Wait a minute. Do you mean to tell me I can write with this thing? I could just think stuff and I could write a book? Oh my god, I could actually... Would that mean that I could, do some Tales from the After now and actually create some stuff? That'd be cool. Wouldn't that be a trip, eh? Listening or reading Tales from the Afterglow written from an endless... What if I did it during my sleep? God damn. How much are these things? To control a computer game, EEG data is gleaned from the sensor-studded cap, which, boy, you want to talk about studded. Stud is not a word I would use in conjunction with this cap. The cap looks deranged, okay? I hope your signal, because even a real doll would get up and walk away from you wearing this bad boy. Or from direct implants in the brain. Wait. This is shipping to home? You're not putting anything in my brain. It's my brain. Put something in my brain, I'm going to get all Insane Clown Posse on your ass. Several research projects involving the GB-SILV, God, I hate that name, system have been conducted, including scenarios where test subjects use device to successfully select letters or words or to control a wheelchair or a prosthetic device.
I'd like a cheeseburger and a large order of fries.
Yeah, I guess I'd be okay. I mean, you know, I shouldn't make fun of people who've got, you know, no legs and stuff. Just give me a break, man. They don't got any legs. Where are we at here? BCI, blah, 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 blah. Prosthetic device. The company's BCI technology was also used in European community research, Precisina, in which participants were able to navigate through complex virtual environments using only their thoughts. Very, very interesting stuff. I mean, this is definitely more advanced than just the skiing program, which that little finger thing had a few years ago. The experiments were conducted in a highly immersive stereo projection environment called a cave at the University of College of London. So they put them inside of a cave system, which they got it all in quotes, a cave. It's just a bunch of monitors set up on a multi-display system. So it's like a cockpit type scenario. I don't know why they wouldn't just throw a VR helmet on them, because this thing is begging for a VR interface. Googer has not publicly announced the pricing for the BCI systems. Oh, hell no. Since you're the first to market, you can make that any price you want, baby. The company is a technology supplier to research institutions, government agencies such as NASA, and major manufacturers such as Nokia, Merck, and Sony. Merck. There's a Shadowrun name for a company if ever I heard one, eh? Frightening. And even though there's a lot of negative stuff that goes on around the world, thanks to, well, the efforts of many, and I've got to send this by a few people, Agent Subversion was the first one to send this bad boy in. We have some good news today, folks. And the good news today is that, in space news, Mars is an unlikely sport beachfront property anytime, unlikely to sport beachfront property anytime soon. I'd love to get these, these tabloid writers they get on these science programs and put them in a headlock until they pass out. But anyway, the planet has enough water and ice at the South Pole to blanket the entire planet in more than 30 feet of water if everything thawed out. So, there's water on Mars. Okay, take a moment and consider that. There is enough water on Mars that if you were to thaw it out, you could cover the entire surface of the planet in 30 feet of water. Which I wonder how they get that spec, because there's valleys and craters and stuff. I guess that's like a basic math program. So that means there would be oceans and rivers and streams and a waterfall on Mars. What the hell would that look like, eh? With our radar technique, astronomers have penetrated for the first time about 2.5 miles, nearly 4 kilometers beneath the South Pole's frozen surfaces. The data showed that nearly pure water ice lies beneath. Discovered in the early 1970s, layered deposits of ice at the dust cap of the North and South Poles of Mars. Until now, the deposits have been difficult to study with the existing telescopes and satellites. The current advance has come from a probe of the deposits along using an instrument aboard the Mars Express orbiter. Very, very cool. This is why getting to space is so vitally important. This is fantastic. The fact that we found water on another planet is, that's open to terraforming now. This is the first time that a ground-penetrating system has ever been used on Mars, said the new radar studies lead author Jeffrey Plaut of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. All the other instruments used to study the surface of Mars in the past have really only been sensitive to what occurs at the very surface because, well, you know, it is quite a ways away. NASA's Mars Odyssey spacecraft also carries instruments designed, among other things, to probe beneath icy polar surfaces. Plaut and his colleagues probed the deposits with his radar echo sounding typically used on Earth to study interiors of glaciers. The instrument, called the Mars Advanced Radar for Subsurface and Ionospheric Sounding, or MARSIS, you gotta wonder, with acronyms like MARSIS, did they make the acronym first, or did they come up with a cool sounding word for it, or did they actually title it so that it made a cool acronym? Beams radio waves, which penetrate the planet's surface and bounce off features having different electrical properties. The reflected beams reveal 90% or more of the frozen polar material is pure water. The other 10% is considered organic material and moves on its own. No, I'm kidding. I'm making that up. But wouldn't that be good? It's 90% is pure water ice sprinkled with dust particles. The scientists calculate the water would form a 36-foot deep ocean of sorts if spread over the Martian globe, which means that also it would probably make deeper than 36 feet in some spots. And, you know, there's people out there who seem to think that there's all sorts of artifacts and there used to be life on Mars. And,
if there was water there, water is one of those kind of building blocks of life kind of things. We haven't really found water anywhere else. So that kind of strikes me as being pretty amazingly cool, actually. The reflected beams revealed that 90% or more of the frozen polar material is pure water. Pure water. Now, I wonder how they know if it was pure water or not. I mean, how would they know it's not polluted water? It is the best evidence that has been obtained, to date of the thickness, said Ken Herkenkopf, a planetary geologist of the U.S. Geological Survey in Flagstaff, Arizona, who studies the Martian polar regions. He is not involved in the current study. Scientists have long known that the Mars North Polar Cap is a massive storehouse of water ice, and the current research team says that they will use their radar technique to refine past estimates of its thickness and makeup. Very interesting stuff. Now, as everyone knows, I'm a big fan of space news, and I like the ideas of going to space. The one thing I don't like about going to space is the fact that the minute we get up there, we're going to start fighting. Because we seem to bring war with us everywhere we go. Have you noticed that? I mean, NASA's got it sorted out. When I was down at NASA before, I mean, they are some good people down there. I think that every president should go up into space, take a look at the planet, and then come back down and then, you know, kind of start making policy based upon that. Because it's a life-changing experience, you know what I mean? If you can't send the president of the United States up in a spaceship to take a look around and come back, bring him back down as sort of like a little initiation thing, he's the president. You know, I mean, we're putting people on for recreation trips to space. Why not put the president on there? Because it seems to have a pretty profound effect on everybody who goes up and takes a look at the little blue mall. Little blue mall. That's what we're turning into, eh? Not a little blue ball, a little blue mall where we sell everything. And I think one of the reasons why, you know, we haven't actually fought on other planets yet is because the astronauts knew each other. I guarantee if you put two different astronaut teams up there, eventually it would lead to a fist fight. They'd be the first fight in space. You know, that's just the way humans are. We got to get over this violent trend we got going on if we ever expect to get off this rock and start populating space. But I got more space news from Debrimi, who sent me more space news. 14 space agencies. Now, this is kind of interesting. When you chase this with the Mars probe, 14 space agencies around the world have agreed to coordinate their space exploration efforts, paving the way for a truly planet-wide collaborative in space science. Now, this is interesting. Everybody's getting together. We're all talking about space here, okay? The meeting last week, this is from, so it'd be almost a week and a half for you guys. The meeting last week was the first since the group of 14 first met at NASA, hosted due in April last year for a formal informal global exploration strategy. Blah, 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 blah. This year, they met in Kyoto to discuss the draft framework for collaboration, which will set out the various agencies will work together. So they're trying to build like a federation of the planet sort of space agency here. The team has agreed that its main focus should be the robotic exploration of the solar system, particularly of the Moon, Mars, and near-Earth asteroids. Well, that should be its initial focus, but I think the next thing should be colonization and terraforming. But hey, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. It has also proposed a non-binding collaboration mechanism which would allow all agencies to share their plans. Hey, would it be possible that if you taught someone, here's a thought, here's a character for a story. Let's say, like, it's one thing to have robots go check things out, but you really can't go wrong with having an organic living person on other planets. Maybe that's what, you know, these people who are trapped inside their bodies, who are like, you know, basically vegetables, we put the EEGs on them, the snuffleupagram on them, and they, you know, they learn how to, like, move a robot, they get a robot body. Would it be unethical to remove as much tissue as you could so the brain stays alive and actually install this person whose body's shot anyway into a robot so that they could be astronauts? You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm getting way too dark here, but that would be kind of neat. Like, if I'd lost all use of my arms and legs, and I was basically like, you know, Metallica's one, suffering inside of myself, the concept of being put into space inside of a robot so that I could explore alien planets, hell, that's almost worth it right now, and I got control of my body. The team has agreed that the main focus should be robotic exploration of the Moon, Mars, and near-Earth asteroids. Which, I mean, asteroids would be exciting, too. You can't deny that. It is also proposed a non-binding collaboration mechanism which would allow all agencies to share their plans and look for opportunities to work together. This sounds like a really good idea, but I know the military is going to be like, whoop, 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 whoop. This would also provide a route for agencies to share their data for their own missions with scientists from other agencies. The agencies involved are from Italy, Japan, China, Britain, France, America, India, Korea, Ukraine, Russia, Canada, Germany, Austria, and the ESA, the European Space Agency. Very, very cool. I mean, that's a start. At least we're all getting on the same page here, eh? That's a pretty cool idea. I mean, you can't go wrong with, you know, at least trying to work together. I think that's cool. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I think that that's a pretty good idea to try to get that happening. I think there's going to be a lot of problems with it, and I think there's going to be a whole lot of limitations that people are going to put on stuff. But still, you know, I'm a fan. I think that this is a pretty good idea. And I got a daily hack for you today. You ready for this one? This one's sent to my Dag. It's how to make an RFID zapper by Dag. This is his disclaimer. We sent it using the disclaimer that I haven't yet heard of anyone sending in this tidbit of information about RFID, but here's a DIY project that kills RFIDs. And he hasn't built it himself. And, you know, it's pretty cool. But if, you know, you're a little worried about RFID tags and you're not, because since they're making them small enough for you to breathe and you can eat them now and everything, maybe it's an idea to turn them off. Because I'm not a big fan of having little tracking bugs all over my body. Call me strange, but that's what today's daily hack is. And that's all I got for you this week. But don't worry, I will be back next week, unless I get killed, to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate, distribute. You know who I'd like to get involved with? Fat Ninja Buddy, you need to start leaving the show at truck stops. Truckers are, in fact, the lifeblood of America, North America. They go everywhere. They have Wi-Fi. They travel. They are, in fact, some of the best people to distribute knowledge and information. Truckers. So if there was one group who I'd love to have the show distributed to, it's truckers. Because, well, hey, at least, you know, I might not be the most brightest bulb in the box, but I do keep you awake for, you know, 12 to 36 hours when you should be sleeping and you're actually required by law to do so, and I'm cheaper than meth. But if you can donate, please do so by going to Rant Media, click on the Donate tab on the top right hot link, or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, or Sean Kennedy, Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215 C, 56th Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. And another the digital baptism today was for Zero Reg.
You know who you are.
And I really want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for their continued amazing efforts in keeping me stocked with just the best news ever, which makes this show what it is. And if you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at my best email address to reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like music in the background, that's great, because it's all from my private collection. I just kind of threw it together. Didn't have any CDs. If you got techno-industrial, even some, I'm not limited by genre. You know, just because we run an industrial station and a punk station, the show, I'll put any kind of music in behind it. I've put chanting in behind it before, okay? I'll throw whatever in here. I think it's a good idea, because that way, if we don't regulate ourselves to one genre of music, we can actually, you know, grow a little bit, learn a little bit, see what's going on. But I'm gonna fade out now with a neat track sent in by Melody, my buddy, from a dude named Jim's Big Ego, and it was sent. It's called Stress. So the song is Stress by Jim's Big Ego. And remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. We need to take a page from this wonderful idea that the Space Jays have, where they all want to get together and get out there to the stars. And I'd like to do this in my lifetime, because it's one of my goals to die on another planet. So, guys, we need to stop fighting and start figuring out how we're going to save ourselves. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
Oh, yeah. Coming at you. Addicted to stress, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a bum. I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's out to get me, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you. It's the little things that get you when you weren't paying attention. Trying to cut down on my caffeine consumption. So when I get up, I just have one cup of coffee, and I like to have another cup of coffee with my breakfast. And on the way to work, I like to get a cup of coffee, like the kind of cup of coffee that you get with the donuts. If I never get the donut, I just have the cup of coffee. And when I get to work, I like to have a cup of coffee, because I like to have coffee when I'm talking on the phone. But usually it goes cold, and I need to get another cup of coffee, and it's lunch, and I have an espresso. And when I get back, it's not morning anymore, so I have a Diet Cola and a another Diet Cola. But then I'm feeling fine, and I'm feeling pretty sharp, and I'm feeling pretty wired, and I'm getting things done. But right about 2, I get this little tiny migraine. It starts by my eyes, and it moves to the back of my neck, and it moves to the bottom of my spine. But it doesn't get there till 5 or 6 o'clock, which is the end of the day. So I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine, so I'm fine. Except when I have to work late, when I have to work late, which I usually do. I think of this stress as the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I sleep too long, and I hang around like a bum, and I think I'm going nowhere, and that makes me nervous. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's at the game, but I feel alright. Everybody's thinking about me. Hey, how you doing? Looking good. You been working out? Yeah, I can tell. Alright, see you later. I love to work, I love to run, I love to play real hard. I love to steal little things from the grocery store, like a piece of bubble gum, or sometimes I just stick my thumb in a peach and leave it there. I love to work, I love to run, I love to water ski, snowboard, jet ski, skydive, parasail, hang glide, rollerblade, mountain bike, bungee jump. Well, I mean, I'd love to do these things if I ever had the time. I love to work, I love to work, I love to work out after work. I love to spend a little time with this one I'm seeing, except we never really get all time to spend together, so we call each other up and we talk about work. But what I think I really love is to get up on myself on a little tiny island in the middle of the ocean with just me and a book and a cellular phone and a personal computer in case something came up. And I'd eat and I'd drink and I'd run and I'd sleep and I wouldn't do nothing except swim all day. So, you know, my beeper doesn't work underwater. Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? Where are the sharks? And there's this kind of anemone that sticks in your foot and the poison goes up to your brain and you die. And sand, please! Sand, please! Actually, I think it'd be really relaxing. Just me by myself in the middle of the ocean. And that's what I really love to do more than anything else. Except I probably hate it. Being distressed, that's the way that I get things done. If I'm not under pressure, then I'll sleep too long.